Our first scripture lesson today is from Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 3, verses 4b through 14. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. If anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews. As to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on towards the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God.
I think somebody was tired of me walking too much up here. So they kind of boxed me in. They did leave some room, though. Okay. Also, if I look at you funny today, it's because just before the worship service started, I was cleaning my glasses and they came apart in my hand. And so I had to dig through my backpack and find an old pair. And so I'm doing a lot of this. I'm sure you've had that experience before. Got a couple of little props I want to share with you this morning to get started. The first one is traffic cone. See, a little miniature traffic cone. I don't even remember who gave this to me. It was somebody in Washington that our former congregation gave this to me, and it's been visible in my study ever since. And this little cone says, Lord, help me be the person my dog thinks I am. Now, to many of you, might mean a little bit more because you have met our dog, Wilson. Wilson comes to church with me occasionally during the week, and he'll sit beside my desk and he'll follow me around the church, and every once in a while he comes to a committee meeting with me. And some of you have not, as a matter of fact, the folks in our Sowing Hope ministry even made Wilson a clergy collar. So look at this. It's got the Trinity logo on it, and of course Wilson in his own little clergy collar. Wilson is he is a big part of our lives, as a lot of you all know who have pets, especially those of us whose children are grown and gone, and now Wilson is our son. Well, I want to tell you how we got Wilson. Some of you may have heard this story, some of you haven't. We had had a dog for about 15 years that we loved dearly, and we had to have him put away. And it took us about a year before we were even able to think about getting another pet. And we finally came around to saying, okay, let's see if we can find another dog. And we started checking the shelter occasionally, going and looking. The shelter that we visited there in Washington had a website too, where you could go on the web and look at the dogs that were in the shelter. They even had some little videos of them. And one Friday night, we were sitting there watching television on the computers, and Peg said, here's one I think we might be interested in. And we watched a little video and said, okay, let's go look at him tomorrow. So the next morning, Saturday morning, we got kind of busy and kind of forgot about it. And then about late morning, early afternoon, we remembered, oh yeah, there was this dog we wanted to go see. So we called the shelter and asked, could we come see this dog? And the lady said, well, we just had a couple in with the dog, and they're very, very interested. But you can still come up here and look if you want. And we just said, well, we'll go. So we went up, and we had been in the shelter several times, so we kind of knew our way around, and we just went straight back into where all the animals lived. And we didn't even go by the reception desk because it was kind of busy. So, and we went in the back and asked one of the attendants where this dog was. And he said, oh, I'm sorry, you can't see him. We said, why? They told us we could come up and see him. He says, well, he has a pink card. And a pink card meant that somebody was interested and would probably be adopting him. And Peg, in her persuasive way, talked to this guy into letting us go on back and see. And when we went back, there was just an instant rapport between now Wilson and Peg. He didn't have much to do with me. We learned later on some things. But just instant rapport. And it was hard pulling Peg away. I said, it's a Peg. This dog is committed to somebody else. We've got to go. We've got to go. Don't get attached. And so we did. And we looked at a few other dogs and walked out, kind of rejected. And as we were walking out the door, Peg said, I'm going to go back in and tell the people at the desk, if those other people don't want him, we do. So she went up to the desk and said, we came to see this dog. We drove up from Capitol Hill, and we called and da-da-da. And she was explaining this. And the lady says, wait a minute, you came up from Capitol Hill? Is your name Walton? She says, the pink card is yours. We nearly walked out the door, and the pink card reserving Wilson for adoption was ours. Now, I don't know what you call an event like that, but one thing I call it is grace. All around, there was grace. It was grace for Peg and me. And there was grace for Wilson, too. Believe me, Wilson had come to that shelter from a kill shelter in South Carolina. He had been abused by a previous owner. But he won the dog lottery that day. Grace all around. And we nearly missed it. We nearly missed it. The Bible is filled with grace. I read recently, if there's one word that's the most important word in all of Scripture, and I'd always thought it was love, but this person said grace. And you know, I think that may be right. From the very beginning, we are created in grace. We are created in the image of God. We are created good. Along with all creation, we are proclaimed with the rest of creation as very good. Creation itself is infused with grace. The New Testament calls, the word for grace is called charis. Charis. It means favor, kindness, life. It is unmerited. It is free. You cannot earn grace. It is rivers in the desert. I left my scripture reading over here. But I want to read this to you. I say to this so you can hear it in the light of grace. From Isaiah 43, and if you can, go back and read that whole chapter. Oh, there's so much beautiful language. And so much grace from the prophet Isaiah. He says, thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings out chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild animals will honor me, and jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my people, the people whom I formed for myself, so that they might declare my praise. We are created in this grace, this rivers in the desert. We are anointed with favor and kindness and life. Grace. Grace has been compared to the air we breathe. It's been compared to the ocean that a fish lives in. It surrounds us and fills us and gives us life, yet most of the time we don't even recognize that we are in it. And this, I think, is what Paul is talking about in this letter to the Philippians. When he says, everything I've done, I've done everything. I've been a Pharisee. I've been the best church member you can be. Paul describes himself as the most religious, most faithful member of a church that you can be. And he says, that is all rubbish compared to the grace of Christ. Actually, our English translation is quite gentle with that word rubbish. In Greek, it's much more crass. And Paul says, anything we can work for, anything we try to attain, we can consider it rubbish compared to the grace of God in Christ. And this is a little phrase I want to just explore briefly this morning, because it's something that we really need to begin to understand and live into. Paul uses this little phrase, en, on Christos, over and over and over. I am in Christ. Be in Christ. I have faith in Christ. I believe in Christ. In Christos, over and over and over. And this in is not an objective in. It's a subjective, participatory in. I want you to imagine Christ as grace. And to live in Christ is to live in grace. To believe in Christ is to believe in grace. It's the very atmosphere in which we live. And so we are in it. And so all of our believing takes place within Christ. We live in Christ. Christ being the eternal presence of the divine in creation. The Gospel of John tells us this. The Gospel of John tells us in the very beginning that Christ, the Word, is with us from the beginning until the end. And Jesus of Nazareth is the ultimate manifestation of the Christ as we Christians understand Him. But Paul brings us into this understanding of Christ that is all-encompassing, that surrounds us, is in and through each and every one of us. Grace. We are living in grace. For the past week, out on our church marquee, we've had a little sentence. Some of you have seen it. It says, "Try grace. I dare you." And then it quotes Isaiah 43. I want to read just a little bit more from that passage. These are the words that come immediately following the ones I just read. After Isaiah says, that you are my chosen people, I formed you so you can declare my praise. And then he says, but you have burdened me with your sins. You have wearied me with your iniquities. I am the one who blots out your transgressions for my own sake. And I will not remember your sins. Then he says, accuse me. Let us go to trial. Set forth your case so that you may be proved right. In other words, I dare you. Grace is all around us. And all we need to do is realize this and live into it. Creation has our pink card. We're already adopted. We are already living in God's grace. Amen. Before our charge this morning, I want to invite all of you to worship next week on Palm Sunday as we begin Holy Week. We will begin the service in a special way. We will be gathering in the courtyard outside of the sanctuary and having some liturgy there to begin the service, and then processing in a palm procession. Those of you who feel unable to do this, of course, are welcome to come on into the sanctuary and be seated for the beginning of the service. But you'll be reminded of this when you arrive next Sunday, but we will be gathering in the courtyard. Our charge this morning is just a reminder that we live in grace. We live in God's grace. But grace doesn't mean that everything will be perfect all the time. Grace doesn't mean that we still don't live with some of the things in our past. I told you that our dog Wilson didn't get along with me very well, but we later discovered that he doesn't get along very well with any man. Somewhere in his past, we know that he was abused. And it was probably by a man. He still has trouble even getting close to anyone. Those of you who have met him, he's very shy. So there's still that part of him. Just like for us, we have things in our lives, but grace surrounds it all. I have a new favorite hymn, and we just sung it. As a matter of fact, I think this is probably one of the most theologically perfect hymns in the book. Because we live in God's grace, we should never fear, even through the worst of times. And I love this last line, the emphatic pronunciation that I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake. We are in God's eternal grace, whether we like it or not. And I dare you to try it. Amen.